Do you have anything to be thankful for this morning? I'm reminded of a wealthy Texan who loved his father and always wanted to give his father the best birthday gift ever. He expressed his love to his dad by the biggest and best gift. On his dad's 70th birthday, he bought him 3-month lessons of hang gliding. It was a great gift, and the father used those and learned to be a wonderful hang glider. On his 75th birthday, his father got on an airplane, and when he landed in Las Vegas, a stretch limo picked him up. He got in the limo, and George Strait was in it. They went to the MGM Grand. They had the concert. He was backstage with George Strait, and following the concert, had dinner, just he and George Strait. What a gift from the son to his dad. On his 80th birthday, he wanted to do something better. And so he bought his dad a bird, a rare bird from South America. The bird was called the translator. This bird could speak 5 languages. This bird could sing the Yellow Rose of Texas in any key. You tell the key and the bird would sing. The bird cost $17,000. But for his dad, nothing was too great. So he sent the bird to his dad and he waited. It was his 80th birthday. He waited all day and finally he couldn't take it. And he called his dad and he said, "Happy birthday, Dad. Did you get the bird? How do you like it?" And the dad said, "Son, it was delicious." We give thanks. Psalm 100, as we continue, verse 4, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name." As I began to prepare for this sermon series weeks ago, I was moved and my heart was a bit broken. And I look back in over 30 years of sermon files to the times that I preached on Psalm 100, verse 4. And it was the only time was the Sunday before Thanksgiving. I thought surely that was wrong. Surely I preached on Psalm 100 another time. But as far as I could tell, the only time I ever preached on Psalm 100, and especially verse 4, was the Sunday preceding Thanksgiving. And I'm convicted, and I think we should read Psalm 100 every day. Psalm 100, verse 4, should be a verse that we live, that we read every single day. I think there are 2 very simple but basic truths that we find in Psalm 100. Here's the first. Notice that there is a privilege we have of access. A privilege of access to God. In recent weeks in Psalm 100, I've mentioned the anticipation, the expectation, the joy of the Hebrews as they prepared to enter the gates of the temple. They were lifting their voices, shouting with joy, worshiping the Lord with unparalleled gladness. For they were coming into the presence of God. They knew that they were His, that they were His people, the sheep of His pasture. And they stand outside the gates, preparing to go in the courts to enter the temple of God. But in reality, they were simply going to enter the churchyard. Oh, they would go through the gates, and they would go to certain areas of the court. Some might even get into the temple, but they would never come into the presence of God. They weren't allowed to come near their God. Remember, the presence of God was contained in that tabernacle for old, in that holy of holies, and now as they've moved into the temple, God's presence has moved from that temporary to that permanent residence, the most holy place. God's presence was in a box in the deepest back part of the temple. The people couldn't come to God. Now, once a year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest, once a year, the high priest would enter that holy place. There he would make sacrifices for all the people, but the people dared not come into the presence of God. Thanks be to God for Jesus Christ, our Savior, for the old covenant gave way to the new covenant, and the new covenant gives us life. The new covenant throws open that holy place. By the death of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus, we now have direct access to God. You talk about a reason for praise and thanksgiving, for shouts of joy and worship. And it gets even better, for as New Testament Christians, every day we experience the presence of God. Christ in us, the Holy Spirit who lives in us. You can't escape the glorious presence of God. God lives in you. Thanksgiving indeed. Your attitude and my attitude must always be one of thanksgiving. I love how the writer of Hebrews relives this experience of this opening, this access, this privilege of God. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. But when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are now already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands. That is to say, it is not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats or calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all, by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. Chapter 10, Hebrews continues, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain, that is, his body. And since we have a great priest over the high house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Once and for all, Christ gave us access to God. This new and this living, powerful access. The privilege of access to God, it's yours. The privilege of access to God is mine. Because of Jesus Christ, we don't only enter the gates. We not only walk into the courts, we come face to face with God. Enter with thanksgiving, the psalmist said. Enter his courts with praise. Oh, what a privilege. A privilege. And more. There's more, because Psalm 100 reminds us that there is a duty of thankfulness. Because of the privilege of access, I submit we have a duty of thankfulness. That's what the psalmist said. Enter the gates with thanksgiving. Enter the courts with praise. And you give thanks to him. And you praise his name. Derek Kidner, in the Tyndale commentary on this passage, wrote this. To bless the name of the Lord is to profess, acknowledge, accredit, recognize, and confess with our words and our deeds that God alone is the source of all true happiness and all blessings in life. Thank Him. To profess, to acknowledge, to accredit, to recognize, to confess with our words and our deeds that God is the source of it all. Thank When we bless or praise the Lord, we have no choice but to give thanks. It's impossible, listen, it's impossible to be in right relationship with God and to be void of this attitude of gratefulness. The natural result of a proper understanding of who God is and what God has done for us in Christ, it is natural to offer praise and thanksgiving. It is unnatural for a believer in God who professes faith in Christ. It is not natural to not offer thanksgiving and praise and thanks. In the day in which we live, I fear we take the blessings of God for granted. Too often we fail to acknowledge with gratitude and dependence on God. Ingratitude is one of the forces that is so destructive in our relationship to God. Our inability to give thanks to God isolates us from God, and it separates us from God. God doesn't leave. We wander off as we fail to offer thanks in praise. Could it be that the experiences of pain and hurt, could it be the disappointments that we deal with in life, that somehow those obscure and overwhelm us and our gratitude leaves? I wonder if some of the injustices that we see around us, injustices that shake us to our core, that those injustices force us to become cynical about the goodness and the sovereignty of God. We spend our life struggling to find success, whatever that means. And in this highly competitive world, when we do succeed, we pound our chest and we say, aren't we good? Look at me, 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 me. Remember Alex Haley? I can't believe it's been this long. In 1976, he authored the book Roots. And in 1977, that book was made that ABC miniseries. I remember night after night after night watching that series. Haley had a most unusual painting that hung in his office and later in his home office. It was a painting of a turtle sitting on top of a fence post. When folks would look at it in his office, they couldn't help but say, whoa, tell me about that. And here's what Haley said. Every time I write something significant, every time I read my words and I think how wonderful they are, and I begin to feel proud of myself, I look at that turtle on the top of the fence post, and I remember that he didn't get there by himself. Someone helped him. And someone has helped you as well. Gratitude should be the hallmark of the people of God. We are recipients of God's grace. Grace that we did not earn. Grace we don't deserve. All we are is by the grace of God. The very least we should do is give God our praise. and our thanks. Amen? When I reflect upon my life, I realize that I often fail to express to God my thanks and praise. I have so far to come. But friends, as followers of Christ, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, Christ in us, if we fail to be a people of gratitude, how will the world ever get it? If we don't get it here, folks who've been overwhelmed with God's grace and God's goodness, folks who have the knowledge of God's Word, folks who have a relationship in Christ in us, if we don't get it, how can they? I'm afraid when I look in the mirror, I'm too much like the little boy who was in the park. He was in the park with his mom, and a nice little man was sitting on the park bench, and the man had a beautiful, beautiful orange, you know, perfect orange, big orange, perfect orange, just was glowing and shiny. And the man said, "Here," and he gave his orange to the little boy. And the mother said, "Well, thank you. Son, what do you say to the nice man?" And the boy looked at the orange and gave it back to the man and said, "Peel it." Kind of like us. God, you've given us so much. You've given us a home. You've given us family. You've given us grace. You've given us so much. Peel it. God has given us the privilege of direct access to Himself. God, the Creator, who longs to hear from His creation. Let that resonate. God has given us direct access to Himself. And with that privilege comes more. Call it duty. Call it obligation. Call it our mission. It's our mission. It is our calling as children of God, our calling to give thanks. I wonder this morning, how are you doing on your calling? With thanks and praise, a privilege, and more. Would you say with me, Psalm 100, verse 4? You should know it. It's on the screen. Let's say it together. Enter His gates . Let's make it more than a responsive reading. Let's be like Kate. Let's dance across the church and give praise and thanks to our God. Shall we pray? Praise Him. Praise Him. That's what we want to do. Oh God, You have given us so much. Your grace is so amazing. Your grace is so amazing. You've opened Yourself. We don't send a high priest in once a year to talk to You. We don't stand in the courts and wait for You. You live in us, and You long to hear from us. And with that comes a mission, comes a calling to be a people of thanksgiving at Valentine's and on Thanksgiving and at Christmas and during Lent, every day, every moment. We praise You. That's our calling. May we be faithful. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.